All right, we're going to go ahead and call to order the Range Infrastructure Financing District. Today's February 3rd, 2026. It's 2:03 p.m. I'm Michael Jensen with Snow Jensen and Reese. So for the call to order, if you could state your name for the recording and record, we'll start with the board. Nick, your chair, you want to start?
Sure. Nick Meister with Coal West, board chair.
Seth Robertson, board secretary clerk.
Lauren Hiller, board member.
And Lauren Warburton with CLA.
Matt Entz with Snow Jensen and Reese District Council.
All right, that's everyone I show on the call. We do have Christy Barker back at the anchor location. Christy, any members of the public?
No.
Okay. Board, first up, board meeting minutes from our last meeting on December 2nd. Have you had a chance to review them? Do they look accurate?
Well, I looked at them. I don't have any issues. I'd make a motion to approve board meeting minutes held December 2nd, 2025.
Thanks, Seth.
I second.
Ooh, Lauren beat you, Nick. Thanks, Lauren. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous.
Nick, you want a second or you want me to today?
You got it. You got it.
Eric didn't like doing a lot of talking, did he?
No.
He normally doesn't.
All right, Lauren. Expenditures and then the financial statements.
Can everyone see the payment listing here?
Yep.
Okay, so board, this payment listing covers the period from October 1st through December 31st, with the total coming in at just over 1.5 million. I will say a large majority of this is capital outlay expenses that went through the construction fund requisitions. There are also a few working capital requisitions that went through for administrative costs up here on top. And then payment did go out on December 1st for bond interest for $179,000. Any questions on the payments?
No.
Hey, could I get a motion to accept those?
I'll make a motion to approve the quarterly expenditures as presented.
I'll second.
Thanks, Lauren. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. All right, fourth quarter financials.
Fourth quarter financials. So these, board, are the financial statements as of December 31st. And looks like total assets came in at just over 6.9 million, with a majority of that being in the debt service fund. But there is, it looks like, 13,000 sitting in the general fund and then $897 in the capital projects fund. And then on the liabilities side, we have accounts payable sitting at just over 13,000. Any questions on the balance sheet?
Is there any way to get rid of that 2 cents without doing a requisition?
I think there actually is.
Well, that's in the COI. It should be out
I think
anyway.
We just need to request it.
Yeah.
So I'll put that on our notes. Make that a little bit prettier.
They don't even make pennies anymore, so how are you going to deal with this?
Hey,
I'm
when did
sure
they stop
a transfer
them?
Was probably made, and then a little bit of interest, maybe got input. Yeah. Any other questions on the balance sheet?
Michael, is now an appropriate time to talk to Matt about this, or do you want to wait
yeah,
till
whenever you want to bring it up?
Okay. So Matt,
go ahead, Nick.
We were discussing this on the last call as well for the other districts, but it's applicable here too. So we've got these funds sitting in the assessment fund, in this case, $760,000. Those are generated via assessment revenue, which we'll get to on the P&L further down. The question that we're really trying to put a point on is, how do we apply? What's the correct application of those funds? Should those be held back as they are right now? On the other district, we had over 3 million sitting there. Should those be held back to be used towards interest payments, or should we be, or can we be applying those towards early principal pay down?
So that's something that should be handled by UMB as the bond trustee. Those assessment payments, whether they're regular assessment payments or prepayments on closings, those under the indenture are required to be paid to the trustee and credited to the bond fund. And then the trustee utilizes those to make the required interest payments as they come up. So have those funds been transferred to the trustee?
They're in the assessment fund.
I would believe so, because I believe they are transferring directly to UMB from title at closings.
Okay, good. Good. So that's exactly where they need to be. And the way that that bond fund works, if you look at the indenture, which governs how the bond fund is to be managed, the trustee's directed to make interest payments as they come due from the bond fund, and then to make the principal payments when they come due from the bond fund as well. And on the final principal payment, when the bond is paid off in full, the trustee will basically apply first the bond fund and then funds from the reserve. And if there are an excess of funds in the bond fund and the reserve fund, then those actually come back to the property owners as an excess of assessments paid. So that's all done internally by UMB, and it shouldn't be something that you guys as the district officers have to be concerned about, since they'll do all that internally.
So I guess the question is, it's based off of that schedule. And if I recall, that schedule is based off a 30-year cycle. So they're just going to sit on that for 30 years till all those payments are due.
No, I mean, once all the assessments are paid, then the bonds will be paid off, because they're, once the assessments are paid, there won't be any more revenue to collect, and so there will be a reconciliation at that point, and the bonds will be paid off.
So they will essentially, if I'm understanding correctly, then there's a portion of that that'll likely sit in there until all the assessments are collected.
It's possible and likely that there will be a balance that sits in there, yes. And it'll accrue interest, and that interest will also, ultimately be applied to pay off the bonds in the end as well. But it's likely going to carry a balance. But that's a good thing, right? That the assessments are getting paid and the funds are accruing so that the bonds can be serviced in full.
So just to kind of reaffirm or restate how things will go is, we on this particular deal, I think there was 43 lots that were in this district. We at the onset had a set assessment amount associated with each lot that get collected at the closing of each of the 43 lots. That goes into this assessment fund. That pot of money continues to grow as assessments are collected from the sale of those lots. UMB then takes that pot of money, and to the extent that we utilize the UMB reserve fund in its entirety, they would then dip into the assessment fund to help cover interest payments in the interim period prior to the start of principal payment requirements, which is like in a 2030 or something.
Yeah, the assessment fund will be the first source of those payments, yes.
And then once the final lot is closed and the final assessment is payment is made to into the fund, at that point, UMB does a true up and they use all available funds in that account to pay down the bondholders.
Yep.
But there's no
Sorry, go ahead.
outside. So I guess like on my mind sees a potential where there's more interest that accrues if time, takes longer to execute, where there's more interest that wasn't really accounted for. So that would kind of eat into the principal portion. Is that fair? Like there is a scenario where that would happen, but there's no recourse.
There's no
The
recourse.
assessment fund and the funds available in that account are the full extent of what is
That's
owed.
correct. Yeah, as long as the assessments have been paid in full, that is the only recourse. There's no recourse back to developer or property owners as long as those assessments have been properly paid.
But
Right.
if everything's paid off and there's excess, then property owners, current property owners, when this reconciles, property owners that paid, like, how do you define, at what point do we define property owners?
It would be the property owners at the time that it's reconciled.
Even if they didn't pay.
Yeah, that's a little odd. So these would be like end,
End
like
users,
maybe
like,
people
we
that are
paid it.
purchasing the homes
Yeah,
that
we
had
paid it and
nothing
they
to
get it,
do.
they get money back.
Potentially. Probably the logic would be that the house would have gone up, the price of the house would have gone up, and so that just would go from owner to owner to owner, that it would have cost that much to get in. That would be the only thing that would make sense to me on why you wouldn't go back to the first property owner.
Yeah, we could potentially table this and discuss it offline, but that does seem really weird to me. If there's a scenario where future homeowners that like the way that the district is structured is that pretty much the full financial burden of it is borne by the developer. We're paying all the interest associated with the bond to use those funds to do the improvements. And when we sell the lot, it's or the home, the end home, it's the
We
homeowner
remove the
free and
assessment.
clear. Right. The assessment's already been paid. So the homeowner's free and clear of that liability or that burden. So it would be odd for them to get a windfall of excess funds just out of nowhere.
Yeah, and I think it's just a function of, like Michael said, if there is an excess, they're gonna look to the property, right? They're not gonna look back in history as to who owned the property in the past. They're going to look to who owns the property now, because that's what's of record, and that's who will be present and available to receive that. And I'm happy to share the, I can share a copy of the indenture with you guys. Lauren, you can take a look at it, and we can discuss it more if you'd like to.
Well, I'm just thinking if we'll take it offline. But I think there's a way that just feels like a windfall to the later owners. And I don't know if there's an assignment that can be made there with respect to that potential reconciliation. But yeah, we can, I didn't know that. We'll take it offline.
One follow-up question. So it's all coming from that assessment fund at some point. If we use that assessment fund, I'm assuming if I understood a previous comment correctly, that assessment fund is sized such that we'd have a working capital that we could pull from that. So, for example, right now we're all out of working capital. Is there a mechanism to get some of that assessment fund to fund a working capital account?
Yeah, I believe the way that that works is where you have excess assessment revenue that's in excess of what's required to service the anticipated bond payments, that some of the difference can be used for working capital. But yeah, that's something we can discuss with UMB also, is how
Yeah,
to account for that.
my understanding is we need to send them like the budget that shows how much the budget's going to be for this year. So, Lauren, can you, Warburton, can you talk to Shelby on getting notice to UMB of what 26 budget is going to be and see about moving some money over to the working capital?
I put that on the list.
Yeah, and that's exactly correct. It's based on what you as the board approve for the budget for the coming year, then notice is given to UMB that that's the anticipated budget and cost of operating the district. And then And then, provided there's sufficient funds, for anticipated needs, they will actually send those funds back to the district to cover those costs. Correct.
So I don't want to beat it at horse. We can move on. But just as we are, as I'm looking at this balance sheet, the capitalized interest fund is essentially down to 15,000, which will be inadequate to cover the next or forthcoming interest payment due in July, June or July,
June 1, yeah.
June 1st. So at that point in time, UMB, well, we have the reserve fund, but you're saying, Matt, that UMB will first look to that 760,000 in the assessment fund and utilize those monies to cover that June payment
Yeah, that's
prior to
correct.
dipping into the reserve fund.
Yeah, the reserve fund is sort of the fund of last defense, I guess, is one way to look at it.
Yeah, got
That assessment fund is the first source of the payments.
Okay, so there's no action required on our part to do anything to cover that June 1st payment. UMB
No.
will handle that on the back end.
That's correct. Yep. UMB is empowered to do all those internal transfers as needed.
Okay, no further questions for me on the balance sheet.
Okay. Good discussion.
Okay. I will move on to the general fund statement. So total revenues here came in at just over $900 of interest income. And then total expenditures came in at 37.5 thousand, all of which are made up of those administrative costs, so made up of accounting, audit, insurance, legal costs. Any questions on the general fund? Okay, then we will move to the debt service fund. And total revenues here came in at 788,000, with a majority of that, the 757,000, being assessment revenues, and then 30,500 being interest income. And then total expenditures came in at 362,000, with 358,000 of that being bond interest payments, and then 4,000 being the agent fees that also go to UMB. Any questions on the debt service fund? Okay, then last we've got the capital projects fund, with total revenues coming in at 147,000, all of which is interest income, and then total expenditures coming in at just over 5 million, with the majority of that being capital outlay expenses, and then 12.5 thousand being engineering costs. Any questions there? Then
All
that is
right.
it for the financials.
Okay. No questions, and can we get a motion to approve the financials?
Make a motion to approve 2025 financials as presented.
Thanks, Seth.
I'll second.
Thanks, Lauren. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
That is unanimous. All right, let me pull up the interlocal. All right, so here's the interlocal again. They just asked that we would join the co-op. Doesn't cost us any more money. The crime policy that we moved to, so Lauren, right now you have a treasurer's bond on you. So we're going to do away with that. There's going to be a crime policy that covers all of the board, which is a good thing. And one of the other good things about the crime policy is as we spend down, and this goes for all districts, so as we spend down the amount in the budget that the district has overall, the crime policy premium drops and it's correlated to what the budget is. So, for like range, you guys have spent most everything down, so the premium's going to be what it is. But some of the other districts that have some money sitting, especially in the project construction funds, they're going to see a reduction in their premiums. So, Tyler or Matt will be the ones that we appoint, and that's just because long term, as we roll to the elected officers, once we hit those thresholds, we'll have consistency. So that's why they just asked Matt or Tyler to be on. So, okay, any questions? If I could get a motion then to approve resolution 2026-01.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2026-01, joining the Utah Local Governments Trust.
Thanks.
I'll second.
Thanks, Lauren. All those in favor say aye.
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 All right, that's unanimous. Anything for us? Anything else?
Matt, did you see my question on the common areas on that release? You're
You're on mute, Matt.
Yeah, thanks for reminding me, Lauren. So on the release for the common areas, the board actually has the authority to reallocate the assessments to address, any properties like the common areas that need to be excluded. Obviously, when the assessment was first made, it was just across the entire property. And so Lauren Warburton's company as the administrators of the assessments, we would just need to look at how the assessments need to be reallocated in order to exclude the common areas. And then they could potentially be released sooner than later.
As I saw on the IFD for range, there's the one sheeter on the plat. I believe it's just the 43 residences, but the district assessment is recorded against by meets and bounds. So it's technically on the parcels that are common, the roads that are private,
Right.
and all of that. But I don't think I'm Lauren, you can confirm this or somebody at CLA can, that I don't think they have assessments, but they're still sitting on title as having the
So
ordinance recorded against them.
is that 43 lots that was anticipated originally? Is that the same number of lots that have been developed and are for sale?
That are going are
Okay.
going to be, yeah. And I think so, bottom line, I just can we, I don't think
I
they
think we
had
can just release it
assessments
then. Yeah.
divided against them. So then just to clean up title for the HOA, say in 10 years, somebody's like, what is this ordinance sitting against it? I can just release all the commons.
Yeah.
And I was
Yeah.
thinking that's the same. I just want to confirm that because I'm not on Coral Canyon, but we're executing the 200 releases and then going to have title hold them. And every time they get one, just grab one. I change what you did to have them be effective upon the recording date so that we can kind of preload them and not every time we close one of the 200 plus lots
Yeah.
triggering these.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, as long as the initial apportionment that was done when the assessment ordinance was adopted is still the same once the subdivision is actually recorded, then we should be okay to release common areas like this one, for example. It was planned for 43 lots. There's 43 lots. It's allocated specifically to those 43 lots. The thing we have to be careful of is if there's some kind of a change in the development plan, so that we're selling lots and it's not consistent with the original apportionment, then the board would have to basically say, okay, we're going to have to reapportion and adjust accordingly. But if it's 43 and 43, which sounds like is the case here, we should be able to just go ahead and release the common areas from that.
This is,
Go ahead, Ty.
I was just curious now as a hypothetical. It's like, not that this is going to happen, but if it went to 42 lots, could we just say, hey, developer, you have to make, if you're going to change it from 43 to 42, you just have to make that assessment payment for the one lot that's missing and everybody else's lot stays the same?
That would be one way to account for it. Yep.
Now I know with Morgan County, they made us add the sheet on the plat. The IFD plat. And just as the heads up, we amended phase one to remove that temporary access easement, just one person wanted it, even though the attorney didn't feel we needed it to amend it. And they had us restate that those IFD payments are still there. I don't believe that Washington County made us do that.
They don't care. Just
They don't
to
care. So then that's where I would need that apportionment when you guys did your math for the other ones. Not that I'm on the board, but I'm sure Seth is asked thinking the same things. Just if we have those apportionments for the Coral Canyon and the other IFDs, then we can release at least the common areas. I'd just rather clean up title right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. So we'll just have to pull the assessment ordinance for each of those, and it should be laid out in the exhibits just like it is for rain.
Then I can run. We're gonna develop, Seth and I have been talking over these releases, spreadsheets, and I know that as they're drafted, once they're recorded, they come to you guys. And then we're gonna have Cottonwood send us a copy and we'll do a spreadsheet. I'm guessing you guys want access, maybe you don't, I don't know, saying like, here's everything that we have. Here's the release for each one, just a good cover our bums situation. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll need them, Lauren, for the records.
Just trying to be a good treasurer. So,
Yep. Oh, you're great.
no, just kidding. So we'll do that for each of them so that we have here's, Seth already has them. Like, here's the lot, here's the parcel, the tax ID. We'll just add the recorded entry for that release when it comes in. And then we can reconcile with the payments received and before we leave, make sure that everybody's paid and we've released.
Okay,
Cool.
sounds good.
Okay. All right, Seth and Nick, same thing. I'm going to send you guys the stuff as soon as we're done in a, what, an hour and a half now. So just look for those. Okay, nothing else. Motion to adjourn.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Seth.
A second.
Thanks, Lauren. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous.